So good morning, everybody. What a great story that was. A transformed life. Somebody who had no purpose, no vision. And here she is today, standing here telling us with passion and purpose what she's doing. This theme for the last couple of weeks has been on serving. And last week we had a very good message from a pastor, Ken Lamb, who shared from Romans 12 on how we are many different parts form the body of Christ. He said we belong to Christ, and Ken said to belong actually is to serve. Belonging brings purpose and meaning to life. Belonging makes our life sing, just like Mandy found. It's not hard work or sweat to do something we were made for. I also want to share from Romans 12 today. Paul starts in this chapter. I'll just turn to chapter 1. Paul starts in this chapter by saying, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is this chapter on serving, but before we start serving, he wants us to offer ourselves. So in the Message Bible, that actually says, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Doesn't sound too hard, does it? Christ in us, not us leading the way, but Christ in us. Christ in us doesn't have wrong motives or actions. We might, but Christ doesn't. Christ in us doesn't have critical, negative, defeated, condemning thoughts or attitudes about us or anybody else. Christ in us doesn't act unloving or unkindly to us, others, or our enemies. The next verse says we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That is to fix our attention on God, like Felicity said. Just keep coming into his presence. Just keep turning up in front of him and we will be transformed. He will speak to us. And as we recognize what he wants from us, we will respond to him because we'll know the life that it's going to bring. We all have bad days. They're unavoidable. However, it's how we navigate our way through, whether we live or die, whether we sing or stay in despair. Navigate. It's how we see, hear, and receive from other parts of the body of Christ. How well everyone is functioning together depends how well we survive. Each of us finds our meaning and function in serving as part of a body of believers in the church. Let's look at the gifts he has given so together the whole church can be strong. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't need to go to church. I can watch Phil Pringle on TV and get fed really well. That's true. But I tell you what, the local church is missing out on you. They're missing out on your gift, and there's something that someone is missing because you don't turn up. The life of the church is dependent upon the ministry gifts of believers operating, no matter how small, how big you may think it is. Not one above another, the Bible says, but working together for the sake of each other and the sake of a lost world. Let's just read in Romans 12, where our brother read last week. I just want to repeat it again. It's sometimes good to repeat what we heard and be reminded. So we'll go down to verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. We're all different. We all have different gifts. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encourage, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously, generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Amen. So I'd just like to expound that a little bit more. It's a little bit like a family, a church. There's many jobs to do. Once you're old enough, you start to serve. Eventually, the guy that's good at fixing things, or at least likes doing it, will swap doing the dishes for fixing things. The girl that's a bit creative with making the lunches, instead of everyone getting the same old lunch, will get the job of making the lunches instead of maybe cleaning the bathtub. Our gifts are naturally discovered and sought by others. That's how it is in the church. They're naturally discovered. Phil Pringle says, the way you discover the gift inside of you is by putting your hand up to volunteer. And as you serve, gifts will be activated. Sometimes we're hanging around wanting to know, God, what'll I do? What'll I do? Well, we just need to recognize what God is saying. And the thing is, gifts actually are not something we have a choice on. It's not about us and what we want, but rather sharing what God has already given to us. We have different gifts according to his grace. Now, in verse 8 it says there, if a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Now, prophecies in church over the years have been, and trust will continue to be, life to many of us, to confirm direction and build us up in faith. This ministry is very necessary. But prophecy is not only when a word comes through a believer to the rest of the church. It can be a word that is emphasised, that hits the heart during preaching or sharing of testimonies or when singing a worship song. What was the word that hit everybody this morning? That when Kim was singing, it was rest. We suddenly realise what part our life needs, and there's attention drawn to it. Sometimes we might be overwhelmed. Suddenly we're singing that song, Lord, I won't be overwhelmed. We might have to sing it 20 times to get it through us, but we don't need to be overwhelmed if we'll take the word God's trying to break through it to us. Instead of hitting the wall, we can leap over the wall. I think songwriters who write worship songs are often prophetic because they encouraged and uplift the body of Christ for that season, and it's where they're functioning. You know, people all over the world have been ignited to live wholeheartedly for Christ because of songs that have come out of Hillsong and Bethel and all the different groups. And even churches that were anti the infilling of the Spirit are starting to embrace it because of the powerful songs that have come out of some of these ministries. It's just amazing. Worship leaders and their teams, they bring songs to us with an anointing, and some of those songs grab us. We don't let them go. We sing them for days afterwards. Don't you ever have that little song in your brain just when you need it? Thank God for worship leaders that are enthusiastic. Thank you, Kim. Someone had a prophetic word a couple of weeks ago that affected someone in the congregation so much that they went home and loved one another. They had been having a few little discussions that weren't quite as much Jesus living in them. But after that prophetic word, it hit them. Prophetic words don't always hit all of us, but it will hit some of us sometimes. And we need to know when it's hitting us and be humble enough to say, yes, God. do something about it. Vilma has a small ladies group, and I think it works because Vilma is often prophetic to help situations and bring God's perspective. Ladies who go there love it and they leave transformed. We all want transformation. Sorry you can't all go to Vilma's group. It's limited, but you can put forward an expression of interest if you like. The next gift after prophesying is, if it is serving, let him serve. Now, serving often relates to all the natural actions and works that take place so people can be built up in their faith. Not always natural, sometimes spiritual, but I could give you a list of 33 or more right now. Does anybody want to hear them or they want to talk later? Just so that you are enlightened. Kids' church workers, creche helpers, worship teams, sound technicians, computer operators, pastoral carers, youth organisers, youth leaders, kitchen duties, groundsmen, car parking attendees, money collectors, communion preppers, office admin staff, electricians, plumbers, painters, fix-it guys, mouse catchers. Anybody excited? Brekkie Club helpers. Chappie assistants, community devotees, swimming teachers, music teachers, skate park people lovers, financial supporters, city women helpers, and last but not least is prayer teams. Very important considering the Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power in high places. Many times the battle is won in prayer. The amount of volunteer time in the church determines the amount of transformation in the community. Ben and team can cope with 40 young people coming to youth. What happens, like Jared said, when it's 60 or 80? A cry for help will go out. The thing will either bust or it'll burn. Well, what's the good thing? Burn. It'll burn with fire for Jesus. You know, we just need one another. We so need one another in even the smallest things in life sometimes. Recently I was at someone's house trying to help them and nothing was kind of flowing for me to say the right thing, and I started feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And I was thinking, oh, I'm not helping here. So I rang Libby, and Libby came over. You know what? Jesus came through that door in the form of Libby. And she just did and said what Jesus would do and had the answer. It was obvious to the three of us. It brought joy to the three of us. It brought release to the three of us. I'm just so glad Libby brought Jesus with her, or she may have been tempted to say what I was thinking, and that would not have been a good look on that day. The life of the church is dependent upon the ministry gifts of the believers operating. Let's get serious and get excited, not driven, but passionate about playing our part where we fit. Jackie Pullinger says, every one of us can serve. Jackie Pullinger is a lady that went to Hong Kong as a young girl, and she reached out to the people in Hong Kong. She went and became a teacher in a very well-to-do school, and they put a little boy out because he didn't have enough lunch and he wasn't dressed properly. There was the end of Mandy, wasn't it? So, you know, there was the end of a lot of us. But she said to them, couldn't we have at least prayed for him? The school was more concerned about the grades that all the children were going to get. Sometimes that's a good thing, but you need the people that aren't worried about that. You need the people in the body who are going to go and love. So Jackie says, we start by being kind to someone. She left her teaching job in the school and she decided to go to the Wall City. And she decided to start reaching out, just started by being kind. She said, once we're kind, it often leads to a spiritual step. You can often encourage people in the Lord by sharing your faith. This then often leads to the miracles of God. He can release them from burden and bondage. He can do something that no one else can do. Jackie and eventually a large team of helpers, the body, transformed Hong Kong's walled city. It was a very small area. She saw miracles of transformed drug addicts, prostitutes and people of crime. She started by praying and felt inspired to get a little room and a drum kit to give the boys something different to do instead of nothing or drugs. Now, these boys, they wrecked the instruments that she put in the little room and they didn't look after them well. Basically, they didn't know much. But she did it and she continued to do it, just like those people did for Mandy. That chaplain went and visited her, went and followed her up, even though she said no. Jackie kept going. She did it and she continued to do it and she cared for them because she believed in a better way for them. Many Christians and non-Christian organisations do excellent work meeting people's needs all over the world, and they do a great work and more of it's needed. However, we as Christians know that the way to help people in a way that's deep and lasting is to have their spiritual needs met as well. God brings hope, transformation for eternity to people when nothing else can last. However, Jackie says, beware. As a church, it's a principle of God that we cannot pretend to be a Christian and yet not meet the natural needs of those in our church or those we wish to reach. Sometimes you can find people that are so hungry to find God that you can skip the kindness, you can skip the natural needs part, and you can go straight to prayer. Some people are just so hungry for God. Usually the seeds have been sown by others and prayer. Healing Rooms people love this ministry too. To be able to pray with someone through the gift of serving. Okay, another gift that we have is teaching. Let him teach. We all hunger and thirst for the truth of God's word to be explained to us in a form that over the years, I think that's it. Over the years, many people have sought God with much sacrifice and time and zeal to bring God's word to us. We've been in very blessed churches in our nation where people have really laid down their lives, and this church as well. And even today, many of us are here because of the word of God that was preached. If you praise God for up-and-coming preachers that take a very large load, Felicity and Ben and others. If you think you might have a teaching ministry and you don't have opportunity to teach the word, get a plan. Seek God for a small inspiration. Go and see Jed or a small group leader or Ben to hear you and give you feedback and find an opportunity to develop. Or maybe it's not quite us. Maybe we have another gift. But whatever, we cannot help but try if we feel something is in our heart to serve God. Lenny Ma has a definite hunger and gift to teach the word. And she and Libby has started a Bible group on Tuesdays. So they do one that's without the children. And Carol still does the one with the children. Building people up with the inspired word of God. People committed to building others up in faith, there will be such fruit from such things. The next gift is encouragement. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. We should encourage, put courage into each other. But there's quite a few people where this is a dominant gift. There are some who have developed this gift and it's something they focus on and love to do. People with this gift get alongside people and release others to do what God has called them. At least release others and set them free in their Christian walk. There's been many people in this church who have done that for me. Paul had all the calling of God, but nobody believed in him until Barnabas came along and got alongside him and encouraged him to fulfill his call. Hence, he was known as the son of encouragement. There are some Sundays when Gwen has the opportunity to encourage from the pulpit. However, she flows in this ministry most hours of the day and most days of the week, and especially in the morning tea room after the service, and puts courage into as many people as she can. Who knows how many benefit from the transformation after chatting to her? Don't go home after church if you're passionate about serving people, unless it's urgent. Come and stay for a cuppa. Talk to someone. Look for someone to encourage. It might be your ministry. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. This gift is often not a broadcasted gift, but rather a secret gift for obvious reasons. God says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Not sure if that's code for wives don't have to tell their hubbies how much they're giving away. I think it might have been, or vice versa. Even the smallest of deeds is large when it's done for him. Sometimes people haven't discovered this gift because they haven't quite been confident to step out in faith where money's involved. Just try it once, you might like it. Churches have actually, like Hillsong, different ones, have really flourished because people have had the gift of contributing to the church. People who have this gift usually relate to and love the scripture, "When did I see you thirsty? When did I see you hungry? When did I visit you in jail?" And Jesus says, "As much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it for me." I have to be honest, these scriptures states it sorts the sheep from the goats. Those who did this were rewarded and those who didn't were not. Even though this may not be Jed's dominant gift, I can usually quote these scriptures and he'll immediately respond in faith to give me some money for someone. These scriptures are powerful. They're very powerful. You know, we once had a Filipino lady in our church who we loved so much and were so connected to in this body. And we still love her. But even though she's not here anymore, the connection remains a little bit. And her daughter had a great inspiration and wanted Jed to do an application for a refugee work that we were wanting to see grow. Anyway, this little lady has approved a fund called Hope for All Nations. So if anybody does have this ministry, it is a deductible fund for giving to refugees within this church. The funds are getting a little bit lower. It's used for medical help, for rental help, for need-based things, and it's also used for swimming for children who would not get to do a sport if it was not otherwise given. Lots of people in this church have given sacrificially. And seeds of faith in action can bring transformation to a community, a city, a nation, and a world. We need to see how God sees. Another little story I have. There's a lovely sister in our church called Pauline. And she's quite creative. She may not have millions to give away, but on the day when there's, what's that thing Christians don't believe in? Halloween, that's right. On the day of Halloween, all the people in the dialysis unit were a bit excited. So her, with the help of her little team in Vilma's group, got these little pumpkins and they filled them up with goodies, all sorts of sweets. And they put scriptures in there about how you can come to know Jesus. And she went around and gave them out because they're used to her loving. They're used to her giving. So they accept whatever she gives. I tell you what, that is creative. You don't have to have a lot. You just need to want to love people and do something for Jesus. Amen. Pauline did a great thing there. In fact, I remember that night we were having a group and a few little kids came to the door and knocked on the door for lollies, how they do at Halloween. And I thought, oops, could be a few people in this room. What's Jed going to do? He opens the door and he sees this little kid's big eyes and he immediately rushes for chips and lollies or anything else in the house we've got. You know, we have to break all our religious barriers of what we think is right and not right and go for it to reach these people. You know, we don't have to do it, but we can give. We can not be that grumpy little house in the corner that didn't give the lollies. You know, kids don't know what we believe. They just know by our actions. Okay, the next verse is, next gift, leadership. Let him govern diligently. Diligently means to give careful attention and persistence to. Responsible and reliable. Leaders keep turning up no matter what to do what God's called them to do. I know our previous leaders were an example of doing what God called them to. Every service twice on Sundays, every prayer meeting, every business leaders meeting, every ladies meeting, every conference, every party, every funeral, everything, everywhere. Fantastic leaders, ready to lead or do what was needed. We stand in awe and thank God for them. I think Stuart must have so appreciated it when Ben and the team took over the Sunday night meetings to share the leadership responsibilities. It's no small thing. Next gift is, if it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. As Christians, we're all lovers of showing mercy. But again, there are definitely people who not only forgive people, but then go and spend time and resources on people that some might say that's just a waste of money. Howard goes to the jail to serve and reach those who were rejected by many, even their own families. Many not deserving of such inhumane treatment, may I add, but for the grace of God, we could all have ended up in jail. Me too. Josh and some of the young men go to the skate park to reach out and feed some of the kids who don't have a place to stay. God has lit a fire in these guys for the sake of the world. May their work continue to grow and reach many with the love of God. You can build a church without mercy ministries, but be careful we don't end up like Jackie Pullinger says, if we don't have mercy ministries. Christianity that barely knows about the people in our town with a need, or rather may know but never attempt to help them. Middle class Christianity. We don't want that. I'm glad and am excited to be a part of a radical church that meets the needs of people both naturally and spiritually. You know, mercy people love that verse, Isaiah 58. Chapter Isaiah 58, and I think it's verse 10. Sorry. And if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, your night will come like the noonday. The key word in there is spend yourselves. If you've ever been shopping with a lady, you'll know what spending's like. There's a lot of action going on. A lot of action, believe you me. Spending is not something that is small. Keep nothing back. You know, a Christian who operates in the mercy ministry will read that scripture over and over and over again. They won't care even hardly about the rest of the Bible some days. All they want to do is get going on that scripture. You know, if that happens with scriptures, that's how you recognize your gift, where your passion is. But we should never be critical of crazy mercy people who appear to be insensible and don't have common sense. Or crazy Christians who live by faith as missionaries in some foreign land where they're at risk of losing their life or at least their comfortable life. But neither should crazy mercy people or crazy missionaries be critical of people who don't give like they do. Some people need to be normal, stable people with other ministries. After all, it's often those people who support them. The ministries work together, harmonising as they are part of the same body. Roland and Heidi Baker lived in London and would go under the London Bridge to share with people who slept there. But it didn't stop there. People regularly came for fellowship and a church was built. They went to Mozambique and ended up caring for 300 children. A misunderstanding happened with the council in one of the villages. So Roland, Heidi, family and 300 children were told to go away. Heidi tried to leave half the kids there and one of the little girls came up to her and said, "But Mama, Mama Ada, you said there'd always be enough." "We can't change our mind once we start, guys. Jesus is always enough and so is the church." They walked 3 hours, 300 kids, to another office in another town to try and find somewhere to stay. No food, no house, no credit card, only one thing left, cry out to God. A friend called Nelda heard she was there and bought Heidi some food. But she said, "I have some chili and rice for your family of four, Heidi." Heidi opened the door and started feeding the 300, much to Nelda, being ticked off. One casserole dish of food fed 300 kids and her own family. There was even enough to offer to Nelda, who couldn't eat but cried like a baby at what God had done. You know, if we don't go to the end sometimes, we don't see the miracles. Roland and Heidi now have 10,000 kids under their care growing up in God as Christians from poverty. Some of them are becoming doctors and lawyers. The UN recognises their work and asks her at times, "How many helicopters do you want today?" God blesses what we do in faith with miracles from heaven. Interesting, God never put evangelism in these gifts because he expects it to come through all the ministries. We're all called to share the love of God in the particular way or gift he has given to us. So today, we need to serve. If we don't know what to do to start serving, we start by giving our life to God. Those who have been serving keep serving with zeal. It says to always be zealous. Start serving God where we can. Understand what scriptures give us life and joy and which ones we're passionate about. If you still don't know where to serve, just go and be kind to someone and start helping them out. If you still don't know what to do, find a Barnabas to encourage you in a gift. Find Gwen, find Sarah, find Vilma, find Stuart, find Ben, find Kim, find Felicity, find Jed, find someone. Serve God with the gift he has given you. Your life will sing in a way you won't imagine, and it's what you've been made for. So please serve today or do something that you feel God wants you to do. Thank you.